Hello, and welcome into the light. I'm Catherine Michelle. On this program, we are going to hear a monumental piece by a master composer, the Mass in D of the English composer Ethel Smyth. Smyth lived from 1858 to 1944 in a spirit of resolve, enthusiasm, and seemingly endless self-confidence. The daughter of a military man, he was Major General in the Royal Artillery, who had fixed ideas on the role of women in society, she had to fight long and hard to achieve her ambition to study music in Leipzig. When she finally got there, she criticized the teaching she encountered, but she showed her compositions to Brahms and made friends with Clara Schumann and Grieg, amongst others. In Munich, she often spent time in the company of Sir Alfred Trevelyan, whose daughter Pauline was to be the inspiration for the Mass we're going to be listening to. Smyth described Pauline Trevelyan's extreme gentleness and delicate beauty as the garments of her soul. She soon developed a passion for this girl with what she called the most exquisite personality. Pauline was a devout Catholic, and it was under the stress of a strong religious impulse, albeit temporary, that the Mass was composed and dedicated to her. Although she failed to interest any English choral societies or their conductors in her Mass, Ethel Smyth had more success in Scotland when she introduced it to Queen Victoria and her entourage during the autumn of 1891, when the Queen was at Balmoral. Smyth had been invited to stay at Balmoral by her friend the Empress Eugenie, Napoleon III's widow. According to Smyth's account in one of her numerous autobiographies, she regaled the Queen with a performance of sections from the Mass, quote, in the manner of composers, which meant that she sang the chorus as well as the solo parts and trumpeted forth orchestral effects as best she could, a method used by Smyth throughout her life to try to persuade reluctant conductors or opera directors to perform her music. At Balmoral, emboldened by the sonority of the place, I did the Gloria, she explained. At a certain drum effect, a foot even came into play, and I fancy that as regards volume of sound, at least, the presence of a real chorus and orchestra was scarcely missed. Well, I don't suppose it was every day that Queen Victoria was treated to such a spectacle. Now, as it turns out, the Queen's son, the Duke of Edinburgh, was president of the Royal Choral Society, and the Empress Eugenie, who was totally unmusical herself, a great asset in a musical patron, according to Smyth, took a special interest in the Mass since much of it had been composed either in her house at Cap Martin or on her yacht in the Adriatic. So between the two of them, a concert of the Mass was arranged in the Royal Albert Hall on January 18, 1893, along with the first two parts of Haydn's Creation. Although the critics were not as universally hostile as Smyth later claimed, several of them were extremely patronizing. One critic declared himself to have been entertained to see, quote, a lady composer attempting to soar into the loftier regions of musical art, unquote. The Mass was not performed again until 1924, when it was conducted in Birmingham by Adrian Bolt. Further performances took place over the next few years, but it again dropped out of the repertoire. This recording was made in 1990 in Orchestra Hall, Minneapolis, Minnesota, with the Plymouth Festival Chorus and Orchestra conducted by Philip Brunel. You'll hear a few breaks in continuity where I've made some cuts so that we can hear most, but not all, of this 62.5-minute Mass.